At this time, I'd like to inform all participants that today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you would disconnect at this time. Thank you.
Sean, we're not starting the recording yet.
I do apologize. I misunderstood that.
No, sorry, Sean. During the call, once everyone's joined.
Very
good. Is that okay to stop the recording and to start again?
I can do that. Not a problem.
You're a star. Thanks. During the recording, what I'll do is once we've got quite a few people on the line, just say, Sean, could you please start the recording? And then if you could just let me know as soon as it started.
Absolutely. My apologies.
Okay.
I misunderstood.
No problem, Sean. Thank you very much.
And the call is now being recorded at this time.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone on today's PPSC work group on Wednesday, the 27th of January. We have J. Scott Evans, Ilya Bazlyankov, Cheryl Langdonor, Yonis Soininen, Alexei Sozonov, Avery Doria. From staff, we have Marika Konings, Ken Bauer, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. We have apologies from Caroline Greer to all the Wednesday calls. And if I can just remind everyone to state their names when speaking. Thank you. Over to you, J. Scott.
All right. This is J. Scott Evans. Just to let everyone know, the only comments that I received on the call for consensus, and I had asked, as you may remember, that you only give any revisions that you sought or if you disagreed with a call of consensus on the text for putting it out for public comment, was from Caroline Greer. She sent an email dated this last Monday, the 25th, in which she went through 13 points. And so I would like now to just quickly go through her email with the text, if that's all right, Marika.
It's up on the Adobe Connect as well.
The first thing she has is, her first point is, who is responsible for writing the charter? And she says that this needs to be expressed up front. And I thought it was. Oh, I see you've got it up. Okay. I thought it was, but that could just be a footnote, couldn't it, where we just state that the chartering organization, which is typically going to be the GNSO, but could be any other group.
Hmm.
Right?
Yes. J. Scott, I think the term chartering organization is very self-evident.
And we could put a footnote in, Marika, and just clarify that that would typically be the GNSO, but that's not the only group that could be a chartering organization. Ken?
Yeah, hi, this is Ken. I wonder if she might be referring more to the word writing than responsible. It's clear that the chartering organization is responsible, but I wonder if she's asking whether or not the procedures sort of need to say who in the chartering organization or how does the chartering organization go about getting it drafted, written.
You know, my personal, and of course I can advocate a position, is that's drilling down to far too much detail. I mean, it seems to me that the chartering organization should be able to have the freedom to decide whom or how it wants to do it as so long as they follow the guidelines.
And maybe that's all that needs to be said then.
So maybe we need to say, put in a sentence that just says that it is the responsibility of the chartering organization about through its own internal processes to determine who will be responsible, who will be charged with drafting the charter for approval by the chartering organization or something to that effect. Anybody disagree with that?
This is Marika. Just a question. Are you happy for me to add it as a footnote in section 6.2, which is working group charter template?
Sure.
So it's obvious there who's who needs to use the template, basically.
Yes.
Okay.
Second point. Reference the third bullet in the first paragraph. Oh, I'm sorry, Ken. You agree. Okay. Reference the third bullet point in the first paragraph, section 2.1.1, suggests that the announcement should not only be sent to organizations that have expertise and knowledge, but also organizations that may be impacted by any work produced. Edits made, see also section 6.1.1, where the same occurs. So can we look at 6.1.1? Marika, can you throw that up on the screen?
People should be able to scroll themselves to the relevant section in the document now. And as well, you are able to enhance the document. On the top page, you see a percentage and a bar that you can move, so you can make the document larger if necessary.
Okay.
Marika, just as Ken, you may be aware that at the bottom there's a little button called sync, and if you click that, then you will control it, and then you can unsync it when you're finished.
Yes, no, I'm aware, but I thought it was more convenient for people to scroll at their own leisure. I'm happy as well to go there directly if people prefer that.
Okay, 2.1.1 is announcement of a working group. Let's look at 6.1.1. Announcement of working. A decision between workers and circulate call. Volunteers while they're possible. So I assume that what she's saying is in that bullet point that we've left out of this particular one groups that would be impacted. And so is she the one that's put in this interest?
Cheryl, that's how I read it. I read it that word interest was her edit.
Okay.
And that it needed to be duplicated into 6.1.1.
And I think that's absolutely fine. Does anybody disagree?
Nope.
All right. Then let's go to, let me see her email again. Okay. 3. Is SOI different to a DOI? This caused some confusion. In some cases, they seem to be interchangeably and sometimes different. So I guess we need to clarify the difference between a statement of interest and what's DOI, declaration of interest?
Disclosure of interest.
Okay.
I spoke to this about this with Julie Hadland, who is responsible for the OSD, because I actually had the same question, you know, what is the actual difference? And she explained to me that the statement of interest is more what you provide at the start of a working group, just a general overview, like, you know, what you do, what your interests are, why you're involved in this. And a disclosure of interest is more relating to specific decisions that may affect a relevant party judgment or be perceived to affect a relevant party judgment on an issue that is under review, consideration, or discussion. So it's more relating to specific decisions that a working group is taking, and you're expected to disclose your interest and, you know, the reason why.
And I think we just need to put a footnote to explain that when we first mentioned disclosure of interest.
Okay, I'll check as well with the responsible OSC team if they have some kind of definition that they're using to make sure that we're in sync.
Okay. All right. Section 2.1.4.2 covers the election of working group chair. If the working group decides to have co-chairs or vice-chairs, how would those be elected? You know, it's very difficult, in my opinion, to define specific criteria given the breadth of subject matter that will be covered. I mean, I think we've given some general principles with regards to leadership qualities someone should have, but I don't know if we can go far beyond that. Does anyone disagree? I mean, you start drilling down into too much detail, and then it's not relevant to a broad swath of potential applications, which I thought this was supposed to have. I have no problem with changing it to working group leader rather than chair, since we talk about various types of leadership structures you might choose to have.
Yeah, I'm happy with the edit, but I also agree, I'm a little concerned about being too prescriptive in terms of criteria. Because then you get into the argument of how is it measured and how is it weighted and.
Yeah. So I disagree that we should get any more detailed than we already have. Do we have consensus that that's okay, or You can use your little check if you don't want to talk up, Aubrey. And ah, there we go. Aubrey, I'll get a check from you.
Yeah, yeah, I can't find the button. You got to check.
It's down in the left-hand corner. If you touch the down arrow, your little man.
Oh, yeah, yeah, now I see it. I see it.
11 hours, it's a lot of time.
Yeah, I'm a cinder, but anyway.
It's a wonder she can see the screen, let alone the little man at the bottom left.
Reference the last, this is number 5, reference the last sentence of section 2.1.4.3, change advisable to required. Does anybody have a problem with that?
Nope, I can live with it.
Jonas is very happy with it.
He's laughing.
Smiley face.
Yeah, I was just trying these things out. It was cool.
Boys play, boys. Oh, and look at Cheryl. The clap.
Sorry.
Second, in the first paragraph, section 2, this document includes skills and qualities that are common to a leader of working groups. The charter then adds to the common qualities and skill sets that are specific. I mean, I don't have a problem with the charter setting out, if we want to add something that says the charter can specify specific skill sets that would be required for a leader, because the charting organization, then that allows them the freedom, if it needs to be someone that, like, has, you know, an in-depth knowledge of IP protocol, you know, delegation, because it's a specific security question that J. Scott Evans wouldn't know anything about, so he's obviously not the right chair. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. Does anybody have a problem if we put in a sentence that just said that the charting organization can set out criteria? Marika, you raised your hand.
Yeah, this is Marika. I actually still had a question about the previous comments, because if we include require, the question is then how do you want to require that, or what do you do if a working group doesn't develop a plan? Is it something then that you want to make, you know, require as well as part of the charter? Or do you want to tell the PC work team that they should put that in the bylaws as a requirement? Or
one of the things you could do is you could say, is it advisable, and in the event a work team chooses not to have one, they have to present a justification to the charting organization for why they wouldn't have one.
Okay.
So in other words, you don't have to have one, it's advisable, but you're going to explain why you don't have one, which means 90% of the people will have one. So what about this question about putting in a sentence regarding the leadership that says that the charting organization can put together a list of criteria for the leaders of a working group that it feels are necessary? I feel much more comfortable with the charting organization looking at a specific issue doing that rather than these general guidelines setting it out. I see Cheryl.
I agree.
Okay. All right. 7, reference the second section of 2.2, statements of qualifications submitted. WG leadership is critical for acceptance. So I'm not sure, because I don't have the document in front of me, what she's speaking of. Marika, can you speak to that? Number 7?
I can pull the document up. It's probably the easiest.
It's, what did you say, 2.2?
2.2, yes. She's added there on page 9, the bullets.
It's just bridge of congratulations, nomination, stuff. So who, I'm a little unclear as what's a statement of qualification and who's it coming from?
The candidate. I was
okay.
Reading it as a candidate.
So maybe we should say statements of qualification from candidate. We okay with that? If we just add from candidate?
Sure.
Okay. All right, where are we? We're on 8 on her email, which is reference end of section 2.0 suggests addition of staff function liaison with other staff. She says she made the edit. We go back to the text. Staff, I can force the following base function to support function. Okay. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. Does anybody have a problem with that?
Which one is it?
She's added a bullet of what the staff roles are, and she says...
Page 10.
And I think it should be...
Okay, I can't see it on the page.
It's just above item 2.3, the additional point of liaison with other staff or experts has been added.
Okay, liaison with other staff. Okay.
I don't have a problem with that. Because that's functionally what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Reference section.
Yes. Yeah. I think that it's a little bit maybe platonic, but it is okay.
Okay. Let's see here. Reference 2.3, are the terms subteams and subgroups interchangeable? We need to see that again, 2.3, Marika. I don't know if I have the ability to change the screen.
No, Marika's in charge. She's the only yellow one. We've got to be the right color to have control, Jay Scott.
That is so deep, I'm not going there. As a white male, I think that would be very improper for me.
Very dangerous, indeed. Discretion is better part of valor.
Then we may decide to employ subteams as an efficient means to subteam version. And what she wanted to know if...
She changed at the bottom of page 10. It originally said subgroup, and she changed it to subteam, which... I think it makes sense because we talked in the previous section on about subteams.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
You don't need to keep going back, Marika. I'll read it from my email that I've got up, and if anybody needs
okay.
Check. But that way we won't have to keep flipping back and forth. Reference section 3.6. The section is lacking in guidance as how a working group should get to the point of making decisions. Different working groups may use different approaches, but providing some alternative approaches could be useful for given working groups to consider. Also, regarding levels of support as defined, how would the level of support be determined? Could the council voting thresholds be used as a guide? Also, would majority support be better than strong support? I think we should use the term majority anywhere, because majority, in my personal opinion, but I'll defer to Aubrey and Cheryl and Jonas, who do consensus in other areas, but in my opinion, that by implication says voting, and there's a difference between a majority and strong.
Yep, that fits comfortably with my assessment of it. Strong support does not mean that you've put any particular numerical measure via vote on it.
And so I think we just leave that as it is. Suggest change the last...
Sorry, can I just have a clarification? You want to leave it as Carolyn changed it, or you want to leave it as...
Reverse it back to strong.
Okay.
It's strong.
Okay.
I just think... You know, I'm not so sure I'm happy with the word required either because, I mean, that almost looks like you have to, it leads to false positives because you're requiring someone to obtain something, whether, I mean, in my experience, majority voices are going to speak up, especially if you give them the opportunity. do so.
Yep.
So and I don't think require, because you got somebody out putting something in there just because it has to be there, rather than because it's somebody's viewpoint that needs.
I think encouraged is a strong enough word in that, and I think if memory serves, we did go over this in fairly fine detail at the time.
I would stick with encouraged. How about you, Aubrey? As with all your
definitely encouraged.
Okay, so I'm deferring to that. So, Marika, that will stay encouraged.
Okay.
Suggest changing the last paragraph 4.1 to cover teleconferences that are recorded and in person that may be transcribed directly. 4.1. I'm scrolling down so I can see.
It's just before, above 4.2, where she just changes and or transcripts.
There's also the addition of should and may where cans were before in the paragraph above that.
Okay, the chair should support Mr. Agenda.
I'm ambivalent on should and may versus can, so I'm happy to have should and may in there.
Yeah, that's fine with me, because I think that's what we meant. And I have no problem with and or.
Yep.
Looks good.
Okay. We're plowing through, guys.
Yoo-hoo.
Reference 6.1, where is section Roman numeral 2?
I think that's a remainder from the previous
draft.
We had so yeah, I need to clean that up and
okay.
Refer to the appropriate part. Or
I like that answer. A reference section 6.1.4. It is possible and likely that liaison may also be a working group member. Otherwise, it may prove difficult to recruit a liaison. Therefore, we should distinguish between. I don't think the liaison. I don't think your concept, as I remember hearing it, was that the liaison is a member. I think the whole point was the liaison to sort of be separate and apart from, sort of an observer. Is that not correct? Because they're going to be involved in dealing with disputes.
Mm.
Right?
Okay.
They shouldn't really be a member, because that gives them, I think, it could lead to conflicts of interest. Aubrey?
Yeah, sorry, I was distracted.
No, but what do you think?
Yeah, that's what I mean, I was distracted.
I don't think liaisons should be members. I think that that's...
Oh, okay, yeah, thanks for repeating the question, because I was so distracted, I didn't know the question.
Yeah, should a liaison be a member of a working group? She says that it would be difficult to recruit liaisons, so we need to structure this where they would be a member, and I think that's a mistake.
Yeah, I do too. I think that, and I think it'll take time, but I really think that that's one of the roles of council members as management, that, you know, they take on this liaison role in things where they are interested but not advocates and champions who need to be members, because it really confuses the role of being both responsible for finding consensus and one of the arguers. So, yeah. I would agree.
Rika, you have your hand up.
Yeah, it doesn't work out. I mean, I don't disagree with what has been said, but, you know, just talking from current practice, it is indeed that liaisons are participating as well as members of the working group, and often, you know, some do indeed, you know, switch hats and say, now talking as a council liaison, I think this, you know, should be the approach, and now I'm talking in my capacity as a working group member. And I, you know, I do have one concern that if, you know, we normally don't get that many council members to participate in working groups, but it is really appreciated because they do bring with them, you know, specific set of knowledge and information. So in one sense, I would regret if we would lose that participation as working group members, because in the current state, we don't have that many, that many members to choose from in the different working groups.
But my problem is, and I just throw this out for discussion by the group, is I think it's very difficult in my experience, a universe that is constantly arguing about process, to put together a process where an individual serves as a decision maker in the event of a breakdown within the working group, to be sort of the trier of fact, then to also be an advocate. And I think that raises at least the appearance of impropriety, if not the exact impropriety, and I think that would be suspect. And the biggest point, and how we've operated, and we have as much as possible incorporate that, but we may want to step further. Aubrey?
Yeah, quick point. From Marika, I assume that there's nothing saying that council members who care about the topic can actually be participants. It's in fact that seems to be fine. We're not trying to bar them from being participants. It's just saying that the person that is the liaison shouldn't be one of those. So this actually comes out almost as a way to bring more council in.
I hate to tell you this, Aubrey, but
yeah.
About 45% to 50% of what you just said was lost due to audio.
I can say it again.
Yeah, would you please?
Okay. There was nothing in what's being said here. I mean, some people might argue it, but nothing is being said here that says a council member can't be a member. So in
right.
terms of encouraging that, it's just saying that the one that carries the token of a liaison does not function as a member.
Yes.
And so those are different things. So I think in terms of Marika's point, it actually encourages more participation because it brings two in, one that sits there with the objective eye and one that sits there with, as a participant.
I see we had Cheryl's hand.
Thanks, Jay Scott. What I was going to say just reinforces what Avery said in triplicate, actually, because we had double echoes and then a restatement. I think that the original text is fine because the edited text does nothing but add the expectation that the role may be one that is a single person acting in both capacities. And I think remaining silent on that and just making it quite clear that the liaison role is expected to be a neutral one, monitor the discussions of and, is all that needs to be said at this level of document.
Okay, I agree. I think, Marika, did you take your hand down now?
I was just looking for clarification then on where that leaves us with the text. What are we...
We're going to stay with the original text. We're going to remove Caroline's edit.
Okay.
So it would read now, the liaison expected to play a neutral role, monitor the discussions of the working group, and assist and inform the chair and the WG as required. And take out all of her blue text. Okay? That is the last of Caroline's comments. We've considered them. We'll make the revisions to those where we've reached consensus that revision needs to be made. Marika? And we will leave the original text where there was consensus that it should stay. So, with regards to that...
Sorry, Jay Scott, just one minor edit point.
Sure.
I put my hand back up, but you may not have noticed it going up and down, sorry. We just need to double-check, just me being a pedant, obviously. With the edits, we had a blank page 11 that would need to be disappeared.
Yes.
And this is Marika, if I can just add as well. I noticed as well there's some other words that are, edited throughout the document that I think are just more, really edited. Maybe people want to have a quick look through the whole document and make sure that they're happy with those. I'll put out...
Marika, Marika, if I may, Cheryl here. From my point of view, you know, it was a where when we'd said when, and it was wrong anyway. So they were grammar checks. I didn't see anything other than what we've discussed that was, you know, could be considered, you know, a typo or better grammar.
Okay.
But I would like you to, before we put this out, Marika, make the changes we've talked about and circulate it one more time just for editorial review, not from a revisionist, just to clean up anything that might take place so we can see it. Aubrey, is your hand up?
Oh, no. Is it?
Yeah.
It is. It's only because I forgot to put it down.
So,
Jake,
there we
would
are.
Would you like me to put out that track changes version or a track changes version and a clean version so people can see that we're not
I would like both. Both.
Track and clean, yep.
Okay, now, do we have the questions, Marika, that were sent to us by the, I think we had four questions we were going to consider in this call today?
They were on the wiki, and seeing as even I managed to do my homework, we better deal with them.
I'm not trying to circumnavigate anything. I was just wondering if we could put them up on the Adobe.
Just a question. Just Cheryl, did you make changes on the wiki?
I did.
Then you need to give me a second to actually upload that in Adobe
okay.
tonight. So maybe if we can talk about something else for a second.
We'll have a musical interlude. La, 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 la.
Maybe we can talk about Nairobi or...
Okay, yeah. why don't we do that in the interim? Just to let you know, our original thought was that we would have a public comment period. And then depending on the comments we'd received, I think we decided by like February 10th or so, Cheryl, if that's not correct, we were going to consider whether we were going to have a public meeting where we would take in comment because we had not felt like we had received robust comments in a written format. My company is not letting me go to Nairobi because of security concerns. So I am happy for us to proceed with having a meeting in Nairobi. I will have to pass the baton to another person since I will not be there. I will try my damnedest to be online.
Yeah, remote should work.
I'm hoping, and we are working with ICANN to give a seminar to the intellectual property constituency members because a great majority of them, their companies will not let them go so they can participate remotely. We're doing that ahead of time. Who is speaking?
This is Subaya here. I don't know whether Gisela got the email that I sent some time ago. I actually got myself into a terrible car accident. I'm not walking now.
Oh, my goodness.
As of January 1st, New Year's Day. I sent the email, actually. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I don't think at this rate I'll be able to go to Nairobi. I mean, I expect it to walk eventually, but, you know.
Okay. Well, I'm so very sorry to hear that.
Anyway, so that's part of the reason why I haven't been following with any of this. So basically we're in the final draft. Is that correct right now?
That we're in a draft. It's going to be the final draft that will be put out for public comment. What we've decided on this call in case, because I know you had to drop off at some point, is that Marika is going to make the few tweaks that we discussed today. And she's going to send out a clean version and a comparison version so that we can look at it just to make sure that we're not going to be looking for substantive changes, just editorial comments such as there's a incorrect grammar, we need a comma, those kinds of there's a blank page where there shouldn't be a blank page, those kinds of things. And then we're going to put it out for public comment. I guess also we should talk about here how long a public comment do you think we should have? I am going to ask Aubrey and Cheryl to give their opinions first, given that they are more experienced within the ICANN sphere with this particular process. So we'll start with Aubrey.
Okay. Certainly not less than the normal three, and if that spans an ICANN meeting, that three should not count the ICANN meeting. So that would make it at least four.
When you say three or four, you're talking about weeks?
Weeks.
Okay. All right.
From at large perspective, we have fought for 45 or more for a long time. time, when we see that it's at days, not weeks, when we see that there is an issue with a 30-day public comment period, we then reserve the right to have it extended to 45. So I would suggest that running it with a 30-day comment period, which is actually the 4 weeks that close enough to the 4 weeks that Avery was outlining, is ideal as a starting point. And if community bleat loudly enough, then there's the option to extend it to 45.
Okay. What I would suggest is we do 45 because we're going to have an ICANN meeting in the middle of it. And since that ICANN meeting will end at just about the 45th day, we're not going to get any analysis or summarization of public comments the week or so after an ICANN meeting.
Exactly.
So we might as well use that dead space to take in comment. So my vote, or what I would propose, since I don't have a vote, I'm sorry, I would propose to the group and seek consensus from the group on we do 45 days. And Marika, do you think we can have this out of here by February 1st, posted for public comment by February 1st? That's 28 days in February, and that would take us to 12, would be 40, 17, so that would be like March 17th, which is 3 days after the end of the ICANN meeting, which means we would probably have some summary by end of March. And I hear resounding silence.
She might be on mute, Marika.
She refuses to participate. She's on strike.
Oh, dear.
Well, Aubrey,
this is Kim. She just jabbered me that she got disconnected and dialing back in.
Okay, so Aubrey, are you okay with 45 days?
Oh, yeah.
Cheryl, are you comfortable with 45 days?
I'm delighted with 45
days. I mean, my whole
days.
Point is, if we say 30 days from the 1st, it's going to be March 2nd. We're not getting anything those days between March 2nd and March 15th. So we might as well allow the time to be there to take in information.
Yeah, I agree.
Rather than setting up false deadlines that will be extended anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. All right. Marika, you back?
Yeah, sorry. I pushed
That's
the wrong
okay.
button.
We, we have, I believe, reached consensus that we would have a 45-day public comment period. And my question to you, and you were not here to answer, is can we get this posted by February 1st?
Yes, but it will give people only 1 day, basically, to review the edits that we've made.
Okay, can we get it posted by February 5th, which is next Friday?
Yeah.
Why
no,
don't
I
we,
don't suggest any problem.
Why don't we do that, and if you can get those drafts out, and we'll have a hard stop as of 12 p.m. GMT Wednesday, which is what? The 3rd, February 3rd? Is that correct? So anybody that wanted to submit editorial revisions to Marika would have until 12 p.m. or I guess it's 2400 GMT, UTC or whatever.
Okay.
Hell, I don't know.
Sounds fair.
Okay.
To make it easy, we can just make it close of business wherever people are.
Okay,
and
that's,
on
let's do that. That's fine. And if you will just put that in your cover
that
note.
That spreads it over a 24-hour period, of course, remembering you've got some of us usurpers from the other side of the hemispheres.
I have really no problem with that.
Okay.
That way everybody knows that whatever the date is, that's when they have to get it done.
Yeah. And then that'll be fine. I have a feeling there will be very little that we'll have to do.
And I'll add them again as well, the announcement I drafted so people have another chance to look at that and comment.
Super. All right, let's look at these.
Can I just confirm quickly for Nairobi then again? So you want to have a public workshop?
I think we were going to make a decision. What's the 3 weeks, Cheryl, you were talking? Well, I don't know all the timing provisions because I don't have to deal with them every day.
The 15th is the pre-Nairobi deadline for materials to be available so that they can be considered But if it's going to come to, I think, the, wasn't it that the GNSO, if it's going to be discussed in a GNSO meeting, it had to be earlier in February, so it came back to something like the 5th or the 8th? But
well, the reality
for a public,
is,
for a public workshop, the 5th should be fine.
Yeah, I think so. And I think we were just, I think we've got, I believe we have a space set aside tentatively.
We're still working on the schedule, so because that would be, I'm assuming, on the Monday to Friday schedule. We already have set time set aside for PPSC and work team discussions on the I think the Sunday, which is another question I have for the group, how much time people think they would like to discuss there. But we're talking now about a meeting workshop type in the Monday to Friday agenda.
Yes, and I think that you know, I have a feeling we're not going to have a lot of public comments before Nairobi. So I just think we should have an opportunity for people to make a comment on the report at the Nairobi meeting, because some people won't ever put in comments, but they might stand up at a mic. So what do others think?
I think it's an important part of the process, and when we're running a comment period over a public ICANN meeting, it's silly not to do that. I would suggest that we probably need to look at unconflicted time that might be offered in the sort of Wednesday-Thursday part. I can assure you that some of the AC and SO chairs, at least from the GAC and the ALAC, will become rather loud and grumbly if we see things taking up unconflicted times on the Monday that is not seen as incredibly high priority community cross-consultation requirement that is time critical to the meeting, which is
okay.
Not.
So I would suggest, Marika, we look at that. What's the time difference between the U.S. and Nairobi? It's awful, isn't it?
Nairobi's pretty close to UTC.
Okay. Well, that's not
it's
too bad.
I think it's plus two or three.
I think it's plus three, because I think it's 2 hours later than here.
Okay, well, you know, like I said, I'm not going to be there, but I'm happy if I can get in remotely to chair it remotely.
So Jay Scott, I can then try to see the latest in the afternoon possible, maybe.
Yes.
That would make it easier for you. And how much time do people think we would need, an hour or an hour and a half?
I would do an hour. But I just don't think we need...
Sorry.
Go ahead, Avery.
I was just going to say, having just done it today, it's like giving yourself jet lag without having to get on an airplane.
Well, why don't we say an hour? Is that okay with everybody?
Mm.
Is that a yes?
Indeed. Yep.
Okay. Because
okay, I'll see what's available then on those dates, and I'll let the working group know as soon as
okay.
Have
all right, let's do these questions now.
Can I still ask one other question?
Sure.
Sorry, as well on the schedule for discussions with the PPSC. I don't know if you already had any further discussions with Jeff whether the PPSC is going to meet. Another issue we have there is that the membership needs to be updated of the PPSC. So those are some issues that will need to be addressed for the agenda on Sunday.
You know, I think that as far as I'm concerned, our group is just going to submit its written report. And,
okay,
and our status is going to be that this is out for public comment. As soon as we take the public comment and digest the public comment, we will then submit our finalized draft for PPSC approval and consideration and approval.
Okay, so you don't require any face-to-face time with the PPSC?
I don't think so. Did Cheryl, do you?
Okay.
I think our words speak for themselves.
Yes.
Okay, fine.
And I think that freed Cheryl from having another meeting on her agenda on Saturday and Sunday. All right. Additional questions for consideration by our work team. How should the GNSO Council deal with recommendations that are not consensus recommendations but have rough consensus or strong support? So, Caroline, and I'm going to let those that are on the phone take theirs. I'll be Caroline today.
Mm-hmm.
I think the council would need to examine which situation, each situation on its own merits. It would obviously, therefore, be important that a working group provide enough detail to the council so that the council has as much information as possible to make that informed decision. I think that goes without saying. Let's go with Sabai, since your comments are next listed.
Yeah, I mean, I think we discussed this once before, and I'm okay. I think I, you know, we, in the last discussion, I think Ari also had something to say, and I think both of us converged on a suggested path here, which is just that, you know, that when there are when there is no consensus, I mean, when there's disparate opinions, then we just simply state the disparate opinions, and that's about the best we can do, I think.
So I would tend to agree. Avery?
Okay, yeah. Something close to that. I guess what the council needs to do is, in its due diligence, look at it, see that everything was considered, see that every attempt was made. If, you know, because they're removed and you know, that they see something that wasn't tried, they see, you know, a suggestion that wasn't looked at, well, then certainly they should be free to send it back. It also really depends on, and this is a theme that comes through my answers, is how balanced was the group, were all the possible viewpoints represented, et cetera. So it really is a complex management task to see that due diligence was done. If due diligence was done, then yeah, proceed with it.
Cheryl.
I'm echoing a great deal of what has been said, but one of the additional points I wanted to make, which I hope was clear in my attempt at the homework, was that I only would be concerned that with all due diligence and due care, that a principle wasn't set in motion that sending things back, having things come up to the council with, in inverted commas, just strong support, not clear consensus, becomes a mechanism. I think it should be certainly seen as the exception rather than the rule that a work group's outcome should come up without every attempt to make a full consensus outcome.
Yeah, I think it's, and I'm not expressing, I'm just giving my opinion here, but I think it would be unrealistic and foolish to say that you couldn't go forward with strong support, because what you do then is you hand a small minority, if I understand strong support correctly, or at least a minority, veto power, and nothing ever gets done.
Exactly.
We never go anywhere.
Yeah.
And I think there has to be a mechanism to say, you know, while we appreciate and understand, we believe that as the managing group of this process, the GNSO Council, that every effort was made, due diligence was made, and we are going to move forward. We understand that there's a minority. We wish there could be clear consensus, but we're going to move forward. Marika, at this point, I want to go all through this so we can discuss in case someone has a huge problem. But I am inclined to just send what we have here to the group where they see these different things and they can coalesce, and if they want clarification or anything, they can come back to us. But that would be my, do other people agree that we just, this thing that we have here that's off the wiki, that we just send this on to the folks that ask the questions? That's what we're going to do then.
Yep.
Silence.
On a wiki sentence. To be public. So.
Yeah. Okay. Does or should it matter who is supporting those recommendations? That is, if there is a rough consensus between all constituency stakeholder groups, but is only two individual members of the team, not representing anyone but themselves, should that be given different weight when being presented to and considered by the GNSO Council? Sabai.
My answer to this is either we formally, you know, the only two real answers, I think, to do anything in between is kind of silly. Either we simply say, well, you know, if somebody is a member of the council, then they have some kind of special rights. I mean, you know, basically make that very clear, you know, that, or we do not really care at all, and it should make absolutely no difference, and it should just be on the strength of their arguments.
Okay. I don't. Okay, Aubrey, you're next.
Yeah. I guess my view is that it didn't matter. So I guess this is similar to Tobias number two. It didn't matter where the comments came from. What's special about constituencies is, A, their participation in the management, B, the invitation that they've got to put in statements early in the process to basically shape a lot of the discussions and the issues that will be discussed on something. And if at the end of, a process that due diligence has went through the right steps and did that and had public comments and people read it and that, you know, then I see going forward with it.
Cheryl.
Thanks, J. Scott. I actually think the level of representativeness and quite specifically whether or not there has been a genuine and healthy bottom-up process that's brought in aggregated and agreed views from constituencies or representational groups into work group activities is a very important thing, and there may indeed need to be some weighing, if not weighing in the debate, some recognition in the reporting of whether or not a value is an individual's view or a representational view. And I equally think that that information, part of that set of facts, should be taken into account in the council's deliberations on the outcome.
Okay. I think that we should present all these views because, personally, I tend to agree with Cheryl's point of view that part of the due diligence that should be conducted is to see how representative the view is. I mean, if it's just one person representing one personal view for their personal company, that's very different than if it's someone from ALAC standing up and they can demonstrate that they are acting on a viewpoint or position that has been demonstrated through a process.
Exactly right.
And or the intellectual property constituency, or the registrars who have a huge unwieldy group, and maybe one day so will the registries, rather than an individual. And I think that has to come in. But I think that's part of the due diligence. And so I think that's sort of laid out here. And so, okay, I think we're all sort of saying similar things in different ways. So number three. In making the assessment between rough consensus and strong support, should the working group chair factor in the difference between a vote that represents a whole constituency or stakeholder group and that of an individual? Sabai.
Well, you know, I think that on this one, you know, I'm pretty much what I have said that. Not, you know, I mean, if we're going to just go along the way right now of just saying that everything is equal, but basically no real distinction should be made, then I think we should stick with that general thesis.
Okay. Aubrey?
Yeah, I guess I'm still tending most towards the idea being the most important. So, first of all, going along with, yes, it's not a vote, process to reach consensus. Again, full consideration and it's the points of view that count, not necessarily how many subscribe to an idea. So I'm kind of agreeing with, yes, the representativeness, but people participate in the working groups pretty much as individuals, even though they come out of a constituency or a stakeholder group. So there may be 20 from one constituency or only one, and does that mean something at a certain point? And I actually don't think that it does. So I really think one has to be careful to look at the expression of ideas and how they come together or don't come together, which makes it harder.
Yeah, Cheryl.
I think what we need to remember, and to some extent it's echoing what Avery's just outlined as an expansion of her written words, and that is that the work group is the place where the discussion, the discourse, the argy-barge, the modification of views, the debate goes on. And that is clearly got a lot to do with the skill set of the individuals within the work groups. That said, that's how you build consensus or at least strongly supported outcomes. And I really don't think this whole concept of vote and waiting to vote has a place in the work group.
I would tend to agree with everyone's viewpoint here. I think that this is where ICANN's going to have to get more mature in dealing with public comment and to take that consensus view and then have the public comments put in by groups that are representative of huge numbers of people needs to weigh into this consensus, not so much as in the consensus, but in evaluating that consensus. And so, Marika, I would like to add that comment into this section, that I believe that at the working group level, there should not be necessarily any weight. There should be due diligence to make sure that processes were followed, and then that we need to be more mature and better defined on how we deal with public comment in evaluating consensus, and that needs to be taken consideration at the council level when moving forward.
I just wanted to add something. Of course,
Sarai, please.
On all these things, and I mean, since, you know, I mean, basically for all these three or four questions here, we're basically saying, look, there should be no distinction between different people, and it should just be made based on the merits of the arguments. Then I guess, I mean, we all know this, but I think that I just want to make a point of it again, which is to say that simply means that the emphasis on making sure that the work group itself is balanced and represents, you know, many different possible viewpoints.
Right.
It becomes important, and then I mean, that's where you're going to have the check and balance. And
well, and I think that's correct, but I think Avery and I, at least from my perspective, and Avery, I'll call upon you to say if you disagree, but most of the discussions I've been involved in sort of this loosely based working group model we've been using over the last 18 months to 2 years, most constituency folks in the room have a general sense but can't speak for their constituency anyway.
Right.
Because there's not been time to go through whatever processes their constituency and or groups may have to make them a clear-cut representative. And in every comment majority, you get disclaimers. So that's where the public comment comes in, because that's where you're going to get the hard and fast rule of the constituents.
And but you know, but there's a second point I wanted to add to make this. You know, one was the fact that, you know, at least the constituents are given the opportunity to create a balanced group.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, that minority views are reported. I mean, those
right.
are ways we're going to counter the fact that individuals may end up having, you know,
right.
the whole point here is the individuals may have too much power. So that's
But a minority report, if put together well, would make great hay, I would hope, as an advocate of their representativeness in order to say, yeah, we may be a minority report on this, but in reality we're a much bigger group. You know, so, you know, advocacy, we can't tell people how to be better advocates, but a minority report should be crafted in such a way as to persuade that it is... very important. I see Cheryl has her hand raised.
Only just to point out that, of course, minority reports will, and I will support the fact that they should, also come through from the inevitable squeaky wheels who do not have broad-scale representativeness on beneath them, and that's equally important.
Absolutely.
That is recognised, that right for the voice. And if one can be articulate enough in one's argument, then it gets the mm-hmm. right sort of attention by the audience.
Okay. Number four.
I just like to think that it actually happened in the work group space, not just in the vote forum at the council level.
Right. Okay, number four. should the working group guidelines provide any guidance on what represents a balanced working group? And should a working group or chair provide its view on whether it feels the recommendations are made on behalf of a representative working group? A member list might look representative, but in practice, many do not actively participate. Caroline says, the working group ought to be able to evaluate its own representativeness, both with regard to an individual participant or the working group as a whole. And, of course, a balanced group on one issue may look completely different to another one working on another issue because the impacted parties will vary according to the subject matter. Therefore, I think it could be very difficult to provide guidelines of what balanced group might look like. A working group can only reach out to all stakeholders and encourage them to join up. It cannot force them to get involved. I think group representation is something that the working group chair should opine on by way of a side note when submitting the working group's recommendation. Aubrey.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I'm agreeing that working guidelines are good. I think that a working group chair should not only work at recruiting a balanced group, but report the degree to which he thought the group was balanced in its operation. And again, though, pointing out that it's representative, relevant points of view, that all points of view were expressed, not necessarily groups or size of groups that determine a balance.
Right.
Obviously, it's both of them, but...
Okay. Cheryl?
Thanks, Jay Scott. I believe that the reporting from the chair, the responsibility of the chair in a working group, means that such reporting and the recording for due diligence purposes of the interaction, reaction and balance at various points and decision nodes in a work group's life is way more than a side note. I think it should probably even have a set of staged reporting points, but that's another matter, perhaps. But to that end, we've got to remember that we're working with volunteers. We clearly have to be flexible. So to have general guidelines is fine, but I think it falls to the work group chair to strive for as much balance and engagement as possible. And it's certainly something that a good chair would do, in my view, is find out when underperforming engagement is becoming obvious from a member of a work group, which goes back to answer Carolyn's points of you know, a list versus the actual interaction. The good chair should find out what it is that needs to change to get greater participation and more valid interaction from all of their work group members. And if there is a mismatch, if indeed a group has sent someone who thought they could represent them but cannot make that commitment anymore, then it needs to go back to the group that the person's representing to make sure that they're aware and that a replacement is found. And when it affects just an individual, then I guess that's just the individual's choice.
Yeah.
If it's a, you know,
what I'm hearing
bigger
here,
than that,
here,
it's an issue.
I'd like to put in an extra section, you can put it for me, Marika, that emphasizes that this is a constant monitoring that needs to go on, and it needs to take place both from the working group leadership, and that includes the liaison. It needs to be a constantly monitored situation, that if there are gaps, that needs to be reported during the process to the council and also to the groups that may be underrepresented. I think also that there should be some report out on the view of leadership with regards to representativeness, and that there should be from all members solicited a viewpoint on representativeness in the self-evaluation that each group does at the end of its business.
This is Sabaya.
Go ahead, Sabaya.
Yeah. I wanted to take a flip side a view of this, which is to say, look, when would people be happy in general, you know, if a working group is balanced or not? I mean, you know, when would that outcome happen, that when people think, hey, this is a balanced working group? Well, that'll necessarily happen when there's nobody whining, right? There's no group out there whining that our position is not being considered or we're not part of the group, right? So perhaps one thing would be that sort of a guideline would be that when a working group is formed, or you know, while it's in process in the early meetings or something, that there should be one should be looking out for whining groups. I don't know how to say that in better terms. I mean, if there's a group that's saying, hey, you know, we have a position, we want to be in this to have a decision. So as long as all the different whining groups have at least one voice on the working group, then I think you would have, you know, at some level met the criteria for a balanced working group.
I think that's true, but I think it's so subjective on what's a balanced working group. In my experience to date, and Avery, you correct me if I'm wrong, we've not had much whinging on the working group level as far as representativeness.
Well, but
where there's been whinging is weighted voting.
No, what I mean is I'm talking from, you know, bitter experience, where we spent a year waiting to join a working group that we were never allowed to join, you know, and then policies were made, you know. So
That wasn't a GNSO working group, though.
What was that?
I don't think that was a GNSO working group.
It was a working group under the GNSO, right? The IDN group, right? We were not given an observer status, right? I mean, at the very end, on like 2-3 meetings.
Yeah, I mean, having no experience with that, if you want to go to the wiki and put in your personal experience with that and put that comment in, I'd be glad to have it, because I think that's the kind of stuff they're looking for. And I would offer your contact details through Marika. Just say, if you want to talk to me personally, you can contact Marika and she'll give you my, you know, or something, so that, or post your email address. It may already be up there. Refer them to your email address that's on the wiki, and they can contact you individually. Because I think that kind of demonstrative evidence of what they're looking for gives them context around what seems at times ethereal idea and theory. With that, I think we've gone through all of this.
Mm.
And Marika, you got a couple of edits to this, but otherwise, and I would give Sabai some time to flesh out his one last point that he made on question 4, and then we'll send it on to them. So Sabai, if you could get something, let's make that the 5th as well. Okay. We'll try to get this to them by the 5th as well. So that gives you a little over a week to tippy-tap out something in addition to what you've already put down. Or you don't have anything on question 4, so if you would submit something with regards to question 4. And then we'll send it on. Is that okay with everyone?
Jay Scott, this is Marika. So you're happy for me to add in the few things that you mentioned, and I can send them to you, the link,
yes,
so you can just quickly check whether it reflects what you wanted to say.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Guys, do you see that? Does anybody see the light at the end of that tunnel? Because I see a little bright pinpoint.
Yeah, I'm trying to get excited, but I think, you know.
Hey, listen, we're going to be the first one to public comment, and to hell with the rest of them.
True.
I really appreciate everything that everyone's done. I know that this has been longer process, as it always is, ICANN, that we had originally envisioned. But working so far, we've done a great job. I'm hopeful that we will get some public comments that will assist us in refining this further, and perhaps we'll get some public comments that will make us think beyond the box that we've created for ourselves, and that's always good. I would hope that I would suggest that we have just a brief call, let's say not next Wednesday, then it's the 10th. How about we do a call on February 17th? At this same time, just to sort of structure how we're going to run the session in Nairobi.
Yep.
Okay. By that time, schedules should be slightly more fleshed out, and we can discuss it. And so let's say, everyone, Gisela, if you're still here, that will be February 17th, which is a Wednesday at 1900 UTC.
I've got that, Scott, excuse me.
Okay, thank you. All right, with that, I will say meeting adjourned. We actually did it with 17 minutes to spare. Congratulations. And with Cheryl and I, who like to talk, that is fabulous.
No mean beat.
So you all have a wonderful day wherever you are, morning, night, or evening. And we will talk to you all again on the 17th. We're looking for Marika, the redlined, and the clean version so that we can have any editorial revisions in by close of business your local time on February 3rd to then open and submit posts for public comment on February 5th. Also, we will try to have looked over these additional submissions to the answers that we've been presented with here and have those submitted back to the group that asked the questions on February 5th as well. Ken, thank you for your continued diligence and looking over our shoulder and making sure we don't go too far afield. And I'll talk to you all on the 17th.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Yes, bye-bye. Take care. We're thinking of you.
Bye-bye.